in accordance with our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting. The money to pay for this camp and its services, as well as helping to continue to carry the NA message throughout our area, comes from your registrations. If you have not registered, please see someone at the registration table. If you have, thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection on Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the mess. Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, because that is all we have to give, that no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the unity retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. Welcome to this workshop entitled Removing the Masks. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant us your serenity to accept the things that cannot change. Could we please have the reading of We Do Recover up here?
Tony, grateful recovering out and when at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks. Okay, I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Alicia, from Spiritual Not Religious in the Altoona area of NA. I thought I was going second, so I'm sorry if I was looking for some inspiration first. My name's Alicia, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Alicia.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, because I really thought that I was speaking tomorrow at 10 o'clock, so I was at home on the couch in my pajamas watching Beetlejuice, and I was, you know, just living my best life, and I got a text message that said, hey, are you coming? And I was like, oh. And so I almost wanted to, like, scumbag it and be like, I didn't get your message. I thought I was supposed to come up tomorrow, you know? But I said to my husband, I'm like, no, I made a commitment. Right. And, that is pretty much what the premise of my recovery has to be about, because when I got here, I wasn't committed to anything in my life. Not anything, not even myself, not my family, not a job. I didn't have my son yet, so I wasn't committed to any friendship, relationship, or anything. Like, the mask was so deep, because really the only thing that I presented to anyone else was whatever I needed to in the moment to get what I wanted in the moment, to get from you what you could give to me in that moment. And that actually lasted for a while, even after I got clean, because I didn't know any different. I believe that, like, my family gave me some morals and some values as I was growing up, but, like, I grew up in a house of active addiction. That's what I saw. That's what I knew. And like, that's what I live. And even when I wasn't getting high, because if it was just about the drug, as soon as I stopped using, things would have got better. And maybe they did a little bit, but the inside stuff didn't get better. That didn't start to get better until I started working the steps. Because I was in and out of the rooms for a long time before I got clean. Like, my first treatment, I was 17, and I left there and went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting and was like, this shit is not for me. This is not for me. This is not where I need to be. I am not like these people. And I went back out, and I got high, and I became just like these people. Because little did I know, I was these people. And these people have given me a life that I can be proud of, because I didn't do it alone. And like, that's the biggest mask that I wear, is that like, I don't need anybody, and that I'm good by myself, and I don't care what anybody thinks, and like, I'm gonna be good no matter what, because I'm strong and I'm tough, and like, I don't need any help. I think that shit a lot, and that's not true. I was driving up here and I had the radio on and it was silence, and like, sometimes when it's quiet around me, like, there's just thoughts that go on in my head, like, are you good enough? Like, should you really be heading up there right now to speak? Should you really have the opportunity to even speak? Because you probably haven't gone to enough meetings to even qualify yourself. When's the last time you worked a step? I can tell you it's been about a year, because my sponsor died last year. And then I haven't decided yet who I want to be my sponsor. And then I ask like one person, then I ask another person, but like, it's a name on paper right now. Because I haven't really put the effort into building relationships with anybody else, because like, when you let your wall down, you open yourself up to getting hurt. And like, a lot of times I don't want to leave my wall down and open myself up to getting hurt, because you might leave. And like, it doesn't always have to be you walking out of my life. It can be you being taken out of my life. And I've experienced a lot of that too in the last couple years. And if I really get real with you, like, I'm so fucking sick of people in my life dying. My best friend, since I walked through the process of this program, I always say, it's a joke, and this probably sounds really horrible, but like, fuck it, we're removing the mask, so here we are. I was like, I like three people. Well, one of them just moved to Denver, the other one died in 2019, and the other one's sitting up there right now.
Poor thing.
You know, and like, I can get myself to a point where I feel really alone. In recovery, when I'm standing in a group full of people right now, then I know a few faces in the crowd because there's been some people who have been around for a while, but I don't even need to know you personally because I know I'm not alone. Because, you know, the steps, the traditions tell me when I say I'm Alicia and I'm an addict, that's qualification enough. I don't need to stand here and make things sound worse than they are, or, you know, just tell a bunch of war stories to qualify myself, or talk about a bunch of shit that isn't real, because the sponsor that I had, that I lost, I remember I came to the Unity Retreat, it was 2006, and my anniversary is always the weekend of the Unity Retreat, like right around that, and they needed a youth and recovery speaker, and I was just a year clean. And I had never spoken at a meeting yet, because then, I sound like I'm old when I say this, but back then, like, you didn't speak until you had a year clean. You didn't sponsor anybody until you had a year clean and at least worked the first three steps. Like, when you're sitting in a meeting, you didn't talk or chant during the first 15 minutes, because if you didn't get anything else out of the meeting, at least you learned how to stay clean, because they read the steps and they read the traditions and they read why are we here. So, like, that's the shit that I learned from. You know what I mean? We didn't ask, how'd you do it if you were celebrating anything less than a year? It's the truth. That's the core group of individuals that I grew up with, because the truth is I grew up in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I got clean 2 weeks before my 19th birthday. I started shooting dope when I was 15, and I got clean when I was 19, and I was standing here, it was this meeting right here, it was at night. Dude, my husband's like, you speak at the same time every year and you go to bed at 8:30. Like, why do you keep making this commitment? I don't know. But they said, do you want to speak for Youth in Recovery? I never even spoke at a meeting. And I was like, oh my God, what do I say? And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to put it all together because I want to sound good, right? Because as long as I look good and sound good, everything must be good. Because that's a mask I wear too. And my sponsor that passed, he looked at me and he said, all you got to do is tell the truth. That's it. All you have to do is tell the truth. And I've never forgotten that in my recovery. Because what I found is, like, there are no constitutionally incapable people in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Anyone can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. No addict need die from the horrors of active addiction. And like, if I can be honest with myself and honest with someone else, I have the opportunity to grow. I have the opportunity to remove the mask. And I'm telling you, like, sometimes it goes off and sometimes it comes back on. But today, I don't have to be anybody else but who I am. And sometimes who I am isn't that great. You know what I mean? I like to think, like, I've come a long way, and I like to look in the mirror and say, like, yeah, Alicia, like, you're doing good today. Pep talk yourself. Yeah. Woo! And sometimes I'm kind of shitty. You know, because not every day is a good day. Like, I didn't come into Narcotics Anonymous and, like, every day was sunshine and roses. Like, I did not come into Narcotics Anonymous and be grateful for every difficult challenge that I faced. Maybe a little bit later, I found the lesson in it, but when I was walking through it, if I came into a meeting and sat down and told you how grateful I was because I wrecked my car and it was totaled and, like, I'm just learning the lesson because thank God I'm alive, in that moment, I'm a fucking liar. That ain't real. That's not real. You know what I mean? Like, I get angry. I get sad. I get hurt. I lash out. I say things I shouldn't. I isolate. That's one of my biggest things. Because if I don't let you in, you can't leave. And it just gave me the chills. I'm like sweating because it's hot and I got a fucking short sleeve shirt on and now I got the chills. It's not COVID. I'm just being... no, I'm not sure. Not quite sure. But... I get scared of that, man. Like, I was, it's funny because when you come into the process and you start to work the steps, you take a really good look at who you are. And, like, I share it all the time because 6 and 7 changed my life. And I came into the program and I worked the step working guide and I answered the questions. And I also worked outside of the step working guide through this process. It'll be 17 years this week coming up. And... damn. I don't even know. I was 6 and 7 changed my life. Because when I did step one, I didn't have an aha moment. I knew I was an addict. Yeah. That was a mask that was ripped off real fucking fast. Like, I can't get high, I can't drink, I can't do anything in moderation. There ain't no moderation management in my life. That shit doesn't work for me. I'm either all in or all out. And if I'm tiptoeing and just dipping my toe in the water, best believe whether it's fucking ice cold or not, I've already made the decision whether or not I'm gonna jump. That's the sick part. It's like, I'll walk here and I'll say, like, oh, I gotta really think it through, man. Like, I don't wanna be this person anymore. I'm already got my fucking clothes on. Hoping that they stay inflated. But let me tell you, like, sometimes the fucking current's so strong, I can barely swim. You know? Because social acceptability does not equal recovery. And I can tell you right now, like, I've worked really hard to be viewed as socially acceptable. It's the truth. I have. When I came in and I decided, like, I'm going to get better. I'm actually going to get better. Hey, this stuff might work. Like, the first step didn't show me anything outside of me that I didn't know, but it did show me some stuff inside of me, but it wasn't an aha moment because I already knew that N-word unmanageability because, like, I always felt like I was a piece of shit. I always felt like there was something wrong, there was something off. Like, if you were gonna buy me at the store, you'd get me off the 50% off shelf. Like, that's kind of like how I viewed myself for a long time. And like, I brushed over my second step with the minimal of concern, like the, you know, the literature tells us that we shouldn't do. And I lived in insanity for like a long time, and that's a big spider. And I lived in insanity for a long time because like, I kept making decisions, but they were bad decisions. And like, I did four, and like, I was a little bit nervous about four. Okay. I was a little bit nervous about four, but my sponsor at the time told me, like, what are you scared about? You already know everything that's in there. Like, there ain't no fucking surprises. You lived it. You just gotta get comfortable with saying it to somebody else. But when I hit six, and like, I took an honest look at my defects, and like, that line in the Stop Working Guide, that defects are basic human traits distorted by our self-centeredness, like, when I took a look at that, that was like eye-opening. And then I realized when I did six and seven for the first time, I think in my life, probably since I was a little kid, I wasn't forever broken. I was fixable. And I'm probably gonna mess up sometimes, but that's okay because as long as there's breath in my lungs, I have the opportunity to make it better. And like, what I'm really grateful for, and when I pray, and I started praying again, like making a conscious effort to pray every day, in the morning and at night, and like I say, like, thank you for the opportunity for the mistakes I made yesterday, and thank you for the opportunity to make them better today. And thank you for loving me in spite of my imperfectness. Because people in the program sometimes will let you down, and sometimes I'm gonna offend somebody, and sometimes there's gonna be a person who I'm just not their fucking cup of tea. I'm sorry. Put some extra sugar in it. But like, people in the program will let me down. It's just the truth. But like, the program has never let me down. Like, even when I backed away and said, like, this isn't for me, and I put on the mask like I was okay and I was good and I didn't need anything. Like, I still found myself at meetings during those dark times. Even if it was one every fucking 2 months just to tell everybody in the meeting how much I hated them. And how much it didn't work. It worked. I showed up. My ass was in the seat. I'm fucking so, you know, I'm contradicting my own self. This doesn't work. Well, I'm here to tell you that. And then I'm gonna leave clean, so ha ha ha. You know, like, whew. Egomaniac with an inferiority complex, right? Yeah. Like, I'm doing good, I don't need anybody, I'm fine, I don't need NA, NA needs me. Nah, y'all still going. Even if I don't come, the meeting still gets open. And like, I had the opportunity to go to a meeting out of state the other night, and I like really got some gratitude for the fact that like, we just pulled into the parking lot and showed up, and it was there, and there were people in the room, and like, they gave me a hug and they said hey, and then they said I'll identify with you, and there was like this older woman there, and I got her number, and like, I really related to what she said, and I'm like, okay, because like, God keeps giving me these little opportunities to connect, and it's just now a matter of like, if I'm gonna take the mask off and let the walls down and let somebody else in who might hurt me, but also might have the opportunity to help me heal. Because I, this is the third time, like, I still can't even talk about it without being like this. And I think that's just because, like I said, 2019, I lost one of my very best friends in this process, and it was really hard for me. It was really, really hard. Like, even I was getting my dress. I was about to be married because, like, holy shit, from a girl who came in here and said, I ain't never getting married. I ain't never having kids. No man ain't never telling me what to do. I'm married. I got a 14-year-old. He tells me what to do, too. You know? I really ain't the boss, even though I like to think it. you know? I really do like to think that, man. And but like the truth is, like, no one in my household is the boss. We ain't running shit. God's running this show.
There you go.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I'm just happy to be on the ship. And like, I don't want to see people walk away from this, man. Like, truly walk away, because this is the best way to live. I can't even imagine. I don't even think I'd be standing here if I didn't find Narcotics Anonymous. I had so many levels and so many fucking layers and so many, man, I put on whatever I needed to in the moment, and today I can just be me. And you get a raw version. This is what it is. My mind's a little scattered. Like I said, I have my jammies on. I was ready for bed. Asked my husband, 8:30, actually 8:15, my phone silences itself. It goes on notification. You get notified, I'm on silent. I'm not accepting any more calls. I'm about to go to sleep. I like to cuddle with my cats. You know what I mean? There's a few things I like in life today that I probably wouldn't have the opportunity to enjoy, or probably, even if I was alive, if I was getting high, wouldn't enjoy, because, like, I gotta live in chaos. You know what I mean? No, not today, man. Silence my phone. I don't even have the TV on sometimes. I just lay there, pet my cat, go to sleep. Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Woo! Go to yoga. Go to work. Repeat. But this program, they say lost dreams awaken. You know, if I would have done that whole proverbial, like, you make a list in the beginning of your recovery, you're gonna just not even give yourself a chance to achieve all the amazing things. Like, God's really truly blessed me in this process, man. He really has. And I don't know. I'm just super grateful to be here. I'm super grateful to just be able to stand up here and tell you that, like, I'm fucked up. But I didn't get high.
Me too.
And, like, I appreciate being asked to share, and thank you for the reminder text. Like, everything happens for a reason, you know? It's not raining. It rained the whole way up here. Like, I'm standing by the campfire. I'm looking down. I'm remembering a lot of really good times. I don't know, man. It's just good to be here. And that's all I have. Thanks. Okay. Jenna's still an addict.
Hey, Jenna.
Our next speaker is Will S. From the Together We Can group of NA from Vandergrift.
Okay, Will.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Will. And for this whole day, I've had to answer the question, like, are you staying? Are you staying? Are you going to stay? No, I'm not. Would I love to stay? Yes. You know, are the campers nice? They're fucking amazing. But my mom might die. Like, my best friend in my whole entire life, she might take her last breath. You know? I got 3 kids to 2 different women, and she's the only woman who's ever loved me unconditionally, no matter what. Alicia may not be like me. I might not be one of the 3 that she likes. But she'll always have a place in my heart. Because as I sit here in total fear that I might lose the most important woman that's ever graced my presence, I can remember the important woman that I saw this vision of beauty while I was sitting in the halfway house, and all I could think about was, holy shit, she's gorgeous. Holy shit, she's coming in here. And all I'm looking at is like 20 dudes, and none of them are as gorgeous as her. And here she works there. And, I never knew that I would learn how to be a man through a woman that I've never seen in my life. I never thought that I could learn how to be a friend to a gorgeous woman and not want anything from her. And so I might not be one of the 3 things that she likes, but I'll forever love her.
I love you. You're 4. You're number 4.
I remember, now we talk about uncovering the mask, and I'm talking about, you know, everybody was hearing Frank earlier talk about, you know, the environment that we grew up in and what it was like to run those streets. And, you know, and I can think back like long ago, you know, me and Marvin, we was having some heart to hearts today. And I can think back like having this macho bravado, like I'll fight anybody. I'll fight anybody anytime. Like, who the fuck are you talking to? Like, and understanding, like, I'll never forget the time with, like, 6 months clean. And I'm sitting here, like, with 6 months clean, this was my first retreat that I've ever been to. And so I can sit back and I can go back to the fear and the dereliction that I can remember growing up. And I can remember with 6 months clean thinking, like, dude, why don't you just, like, fucking save everybody a bunch of time? And why don't you just give up and go back to what you know how to do? Because you know it's only a matter of time, because you've never been able to fucking do this anyway. You know, and I can remember being like that, and I can remember, like, you know, I'll never forget the moment that I walked up to this gorgeous thing that is working at this halfway house, this big, you know, this macho dude from the projects in Baltimore, and tears are coming out of my eyes so fucking bad that I don't know what to do. And she looks and she says, "Oh my God, what is wrong with you?" And I said, "I'm scared. Like, I'm scared to death to fail. Like, my kids need me." You know, and I was telling Frank, man, his daughter walked up to him earlier, and he said, "Will, I need some inspiration, man. Like, I'm speaking on why are we here, and, you know, why are we here?" And the next thing I know, 2 minutes later, like, his daughter walked up to him, and I said, "Frank." And he said, "What?" I said, "That's why you're here." And he looked at me and he went, you know, I can remember, man, like, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a halfway house. There's moments where, like, you are different levels. And I can remember, like, thank God, like, something was changing inside of me, man. Some people were seeing some integrity, and some people seeing that I was about something. And I can remember, because this was the first time anybody had ever seen that I was about something. And I can remember, like, you know, when I went to that beautiful young lady who... you know, said, like, "I'm going to go talk to the counselors, because you need to go to a meeting, and you need to go to a meeting now." And I remember going to that meeting, and I took that motherfucker hostage. And I shared how I was scared to death. Everybody, this is a stick up. You're all getting held the fuck up. I took everybody in that motherfucker hostage. There was like three people listened to me for about 45 minutes of an hour. And I came back. And I'll never forget, man, this tall, bracing black dude with a big-ass afro, looked like Mr. Hightower. He was the other tech on duty. And I fell in love with those two techs, man. You know, this is about uncovering a mask, man. I remember looking at that dude, man. Nikki heard me share about this one time, man. I remember looking at that dude, and I was crying, and he was crying. And I said, "Man, I don't understand this." And he said, like, "You know, you don't understand what?" I said, "I don't understand how I love you." And he said, like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Man, like, I'm sitting here realizing, man, that, like, you know, all my life I've hung around and been around nothing but black people, man. And for the first time in my life, like, I've realized, like, I've carried myself in such a way that says no black person is going to push me around." And it just dawned on me that I'm racist. And he looked at me and he said, "It's okay, me too." He said, "That's how we were raised. But we get a chance to grow up here." And you know, and we embraced, man, and I loved him. And I shared this all the time, man. I took a trip to Altoona, which is an hour and a half from where I live, every 2 days to sit at this hospital bed by his side until he took his last breath. So when I sit here and I talk about the 6 months, that period where I built these relationships and I built, you know, because I need to tell you, man, I went to it. He went down to talk to the counselors, and I went to another meeting that day that I wasn't supposed to go to by myself. And I took that motherfucker hostage too. And then I went to a third meeting later on that night with the rest of the Klan. And I took that motherfucker hostage too. And in the midst of this meeting, for the first time in my life, I remember I was sitting there, and in the midst of this meeting, man, it came over me that, like, I can do this. Like, I'm going to be okay. Like, everything's going to be all right. And I remember I was reading, We Do Recover. And at the end of the meeting, and I had this epiphany at the end where it says, this is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. And I had that aha moment, like, I'm going to be okay. I need to tell you, I left that halfway house. They said he's going to be the first one to relapse. Aha, motherfuckers. I'm the only one still standing. They said, when I was going home, they said, are you nervous? I said, nope. They said, why? I said, just for today's sake. I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Through NA, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association. People who are not using, here's the hit, have found a new way to live. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. So it's hard for me to tell you after I share all that good shit that I'm scared. I'm scared to death to lose my best friend. You know? So I call my sponsor for the first time, you know, in almost 14 years, man, because I'm just not that guy. Like Alicia said, like, I'm not the guy, like, I don't ask for help, like, I'm okay. I got broad shoulders. Oh, you want to talk shit on me? You want to share stuff that isn't true about me? Because for some odd reason, you get your rocks off by lowering me? I've got broad shoulders. I'll be okay. I remember, it's crazy that Drew's here. I remember some things happened to me in Indiana, and I remember sharing with Drew the exact nature of why I did what I did. And nobody knows this. There was an individual that I had something with, and nobody understood why I did what I did. And I remember sharing with Drew the exact nature of why I did. He said, dude, do you know they're fucking picking you apart? And I said, yes. He said, and you're just going to stay and let them say whatever it is they have to say, and you're going to be okay. And I said, yes. And he said, you're a better man than I am. He said, because you could take all that away, all you got to do is tell the truth. And I said, if hurting that woman so that I'll be okay. I know, I forgot. Alicia was the woman that I called to get a woman's point of view on what I should do. And Alicia said, for the love of God, Will, do not tell that woman the truth. I had never had a woman co-sign my shit for lying to another woman ever in my life until that moment. It was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. I did not need to hurt somebody so that I would be okay. I need to tell you that was not me when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I was so worried about what you thought about me that I would have butchered that girl's self-esteem just so that I would be okay. Now, me and Marvin was talking earlier. He said, damn, Will, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm just me, Marvin. I'm just myself. You know, and the 11th step talks about, like, you know, God's will for us is for us to be okay with ourselves enough to take this thing and carry it throughout. You know what I mean? And I was sharing with Colin, like, well, what are you doing for somebody else? You know, he's like I'm worried about, I'm working about the 10th step and I'm worried about, and I said, well, the 11th step is basically about, like, what is your bigger purpose? Like, You know what I mean? We come to a point where, like, it's, you know, okay, like, I've accomplished what I've come to Narcotics Anonymous to accomplish. Like, but what now? You know what I mean? Like, you know, my intent when I got here was to be a great father, a good man, somebody that a woman could marry one day, that I could look in the mirror and be proud of who I was. I've accomplished those things. You know what I mean? Sorry, fellas. I'm the greatest father in Narcotics Anonymous. Sorry. I believe that wholeheartedly with everything inside of me. I show up for everything. Everything. I'm there for everything. I travel 25 minutes. I keep my son on school nights. Yes, I transport my son 25 minutes every morning to go to school. I travel. I make sure I get off in time to go and pick him up from school, just so I can be there. I take him to baseball. I'm there for practices. I'm out in the backyard. I'm teaching him to be better. I'm teaching him to be a good man. And I'm doing all this with his mother, who's just as much of a part of his life. You know, so what now? So I called my sponsor and I said, you know, Vaughn, I know you're not the dude who tells people what to do. You live by an example. Like, for the first time in almost 14 years, I'm asking you, bro, I need some fucking guidance. Like, what do I do? You know what I mean? And like, so here's the hit. Like, what do I want? You know, the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom, right? Like, I know motherfuckers from all over. You know what I mean? You can spam me from conventions from here down to fucking Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm okay. Then what? What happens if she dies? Is Marvin gonna travel from Chicago to hold my hand? Maybe, probably not. So what do I need to do now? So we talk about uncovering the mask, man. Like, I need to get uncomfortable, right? I need to get uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me to go to the same fucking meetings in my area, day in and day out, listen to Alicia yell about the same shit she's been yelling about since 1994. You know what I mean? But it's a reality of where I need to be right now in my life, because if she takes her last breath, I need to be built to take a hit. You know what I mean? I'm in uncharted territory. I've seen you lose your mom and be okay. Does that give me hope that I can do it? Yeah, but I don't know how to do it. Can I prepare for this? Probably not. But where I'm at in my life is, I know, like, there's footsteps and footwork that I can do in order to get there, to where I'm at least okay, that I can be at a place of understanding when I go through the pain. Because the reality is, she ain't gonna quit drinking. She's already told me she's not gonna quit drinking, and it's gonna kill her. You know, because doctors have lawsuits if they tell her it's about the drinking, because they're not clinical. So nobody's going to have that talk with her. And when I do, I'm just the asshole preaching to her. You know? So, I think for me, like, uncovering the mask started, you know, when I grew up in those projects, man, and I was ripping and running, and I had this facade that I was a tough guy, and I had this facade that, like, I can deal with whatever comes down the pipe. And, you know, and I think the reality is that facade was broken a long time ago when I cried to this girl that I didn't know. And I thought she was the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in rehab, right? Because, you know, everybody's gorgeous when you ain't seen nothing but dudes in rehab. You know what I mean? But this vision, and I cried relentlessly in front of her. And it was one of the most powerful moments I've ever had in my life, man, because it opened me up. Split me wide open, you know, and I was listening to her, man, and like, the thing that it did for me when we talk about uncovering the mask is, in that moment, is the false reality that I'm not a tough guy, You know what I mean? A matter of fact, like, man, I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like, I like to cry at romantic comedies and shit. Like, when the dude gets the girl, dude, you can tell I can't fucking figure out how to get the girl and keep her. Right? I can get her. I can't keep the bitch. So I be crying at romantic comedies and shit. Like, he did it. Listen, I remember John Elway retired, man, and I cried at his retirement ceremony. Like, I'm a softie. Seriously. You know, and I remember I was in Baltimore on Emerson Avenue, and I was sharing at Baltimore's Unity Retreat. You know what I mean? And you're the only one that understands when I talk about Emerson Avenue. Somebody else up there. These are white people need not apply area. You know what I mean? When I started out, I said, I'd like to thank all 10 of y'all white people for coming. You know, and I can remember sharing about how, like, I realized, like, the reality was that I was a punk growing up. All my life, like, I was a punk. And I remember looking at everybody and realizing I'm in a room with a bunch of thugs. And I remember saying, now, I don't advise you run up on me when I leave. I don't mean that type of punk. You know, and like, I mean the type of punk that when my family needs me, man, in active addiction, I couldn't show up. Right? When life showed up, like, I couldn't show up. I ran. Like, I'm talking about the type of punk, man, that, like, you know, when I prayed for this thing, when I prayed for this kid that, like, looks just like me and he acts just like me and he's little me and I can dress him exactly like me, and then God gives me him and I can't get out of the bar because, like, I don't know how to be a father. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have a dad to show me how to be a father. You know? And I can remember, like, looking at this dude, this 6'5", 350-pound black dude that I call my sponsor, and, like, remember looking at him and saying, I was telling Marvin this, like, I can remember, other than him being 6'5 and black, like, he is everything that I want to be in a man. Everything. Every trait he has. The way he looks at his wife, no matter what dumb shit she does, and he says, that's my baby. You know what I mean? The way he no matter what, like, it's all about the, like, the love that he has and the care. The way that, like, no matter what, with 30-some years clean, he's still in New Kensington, PA, where in the belly of the beast, where he smoked crack before he became a doctor. You know what I mean? And he's still there in the belly of the beast trying to help recovering addicts every day of their life, like, giving them clothes and giving them a place to go, just a safe place to be when it's raining and a cup of coffee, and just to know that it's going to be okay. He is fucking everything that I want to be in life. And it has nothing to do with the house he lives in, the cars he drives. I could care less about the 6 figures a year he makes. You know, and when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, the man who's taping me shared how he made 6 figures a year legally in Narcotics Anonymous, and that's why I came. I said, 6 figures a year? Legally? In Narcotics Anonymous? Sign me up. There's some hope in that shit. Here's some hope, y'all. I ain't never made 6 figures a year legally, and I have no intentions on leaving. Nor do I have. If it happens, then it was God's blessing. But if it doesn't, I'm going to be okay. I make everything that I need. I make most of my wants. But most importantly, I get to be there for my son and my other kids every step of the way. You know, I was, I'll share this and I'll shut up. You know, uncovering the masks to me was about me being a man and growing up and being okay with the man that I see in the mirror. And, you know, in the eighth step, it talks about, you know, God's will for us is for us to be truly okay with who we are in the seventh step. And, like, I'm okay that I'm a punk. Like, I'm okay that I'm a big mushy. Like, I'm okay that, like, Like, I'm a hopeless romantic. Like, I want that love in the movie. Like, I'm okay that, like, I hold my son when his mom isn't that type of woman. And she buys him and she loves him, but she's not the type of woman to say, I love you. He's 10 years old and I still kiss him on his lips. And I let him know, like, I love you. You'll never have to worry about daddy not being here for you. And he comes in and he tells me goodnight. He tells me that he loves me. And you know, and I was sharing with this girl. She said, like, you know, don't you desire to be more? And I thought to myself, fuck, that's what got me here. More. You know what I mean? So the answer to that is no. Not more material. Right? More substance. More love. More empathy. More compassion. More being of service to what God has in store for me. That's uncovering the mess for me. I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to speak with a blessing of mine. It's been an honor to share the podium with her. It's been an honor to be here. And I'd like to thank the jackass who canceled so that I could step in and be of service. And I just genuinely like to thank Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to steal my man's line. I'm going to steal my man Chicago's line. You know, I say this all the time since I heard him say it, because it hits so home. You know, I was born in the 70s. I was born in 1977. And in the 70s, Sly and the Family Stones had a number one hit. And my last name is Sly. And the song goes like this. I want to thank you for allowing me to be myself again. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Okay. I would like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have the reading of Just for Today up here, please?
Hey everybody, I'm Jerome, I'm an addict. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I'll have a program I'll try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations people are using, and who have found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
People who are using it. Yeah. You have set yourself up for failure.
I'm a human.
Thanks.
True.
Okay. We have a nice way of closing. Can we please close the circle and close with the Wii version?